Corinthians chapter 12. If you're here with us for the very first time, we're teaching through this book on Sunday mornings. We've now come to chapter 12, 13, and 14, of which we're going to be doing a series on the gifts of the Spirit. So if you were not here last Sunday, I really encourage you to pick up the introduction on the gifts of the Spirit called Don't Be Ignorant. You need that. It'll help you understand the rest of the things that I'll be teaching this morning. Remember that when we enter chapter 12, through 14 that is, that the reason that Paul is writing is because the major issue during public worship, actually it's the third issue, during the public worship is now appearing. And you know that this church, man, they are a troubled church, they're a young church, they're a carnal church, they're division makers, they're sowing discord, there's sexual sin going on, they're suing one another, getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. And now we come, though, to the major thing that was dividing this church, tearing this church actually apart, and that was the gifts of the Spirit. Now, not so much the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, healings, and all that. That wasn't the major issue. The major issue was that of speaking in tongues. They were just going crazy in it with that gift. And that's why Paul gives us, man, all of chapter 14 dealing with tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecies, and so forth. So that was the major issue that was happening. Remember from last time, the spiritual gifts, they're divine manifestations of God. They're not natural gifts, and they're for the purpose of edifying and building up the church and doing the work of the Lord here upon this planet. I want you to look in chapter 12, and I was going to read all of it, but let's just read in verse 1. Let's go from there. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be what?
Ignorant.
Let's say that word again.
Ignorant.
Listen to me carefully now. You know, most pastors, let's leave the pastors alone. Most will not teach this chapter during a Sunday service. And the reason is because, people are going to talk about things, the gifts, and the gifts have passed away, and, you know, and all those things. No, they haven't passed away, loved ones. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, here's the problem today, as it was then, is ignorance. You know, the devil wants every Christian ignorant about the spiritual gifts. He wants them so afraid of the spiritual gifts. He doesn't want you to know, but he wants to just ignore them because he doesn't want God to use you and so forth. You know, listen, God doesn't want you afraid. God doesn't want you uncomfortable with the gifts of the Spirit. He wants you to understand your Bibles and know how the gifts of the Spirit operate. Amen? Amen. Now look here and go to verse 4. This is where we're going to begin this morning. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, same Lord. Diversities of activity, same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another the faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kind of tongues, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. This morning, we're going to look at the gifts of revelation, the three gifts of revelation. Now, remember that, you know, the Word of God, or the gifts of the Spirit, like it says over in chapter 14, when Paul wrote in verse 12, that the gifts of the Spirit said, be zealous for them, for they are for the edification, or they are for the building up of the church. And that's what and that was a problem at Corinth. The gifts of the Spirit, instead of being used properly and according to what the Word of God teaches, what they were doing was improper. And so instead of building up the body of Christ, they were tearing the body of Christ apart. There's only one way to be effective in building up the church when it comes to the gifts, and that's not to be ignorant. You need to know what the gifts of the Spirit are. We know that, like I said last time we were together, that a true manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, when you want to see if you see a true manifestation, it is always done in a scriptural and correct way, and it always brings glory to Jesus Christ. Amen? What did Jesus tell us in John 16, 14 about the Holy Spirit? Jesus was saying, after I am gone and I depart and so forth, he says, the Holy Spirit will glorify me. Not a man, not a woman, not a ministry. Amen? Very important that we understand that. Listen, the Bible we learned last time, and we'll learn more later on, if the gifts are absolutely worthless without chapter 13. Love. Did you notice in 12 is the gifts, chapter 14 the gifts, but right in the middle is chapter 13. It's all about love. You see, those who operate in the gifts of the Spirit, in other words, when God wants to use them, they don't have the gift permanently or anything like that. Whenever God uses them, then you know what? They're not to be puffed up about it. They're not to say, oh, look at me. They're not to be elevated. Amen? That's right. Why? For love doesn't parade itself. See, the love chapter has to do with the effectiveness of the gifts of the Spirit. So love doesn't puff up. It doesn't parade itself. It doesn't brag about it. Look at me. I have something going for it. You know, I'm the man of God or I'm the woman of God. No, no. Jesus is the only one. Amen? And that's what we need to always understand. And also, remember that we don't want to confuse the gifts of the Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit. And boy, there's so much confusion about that. I taught on that last Sunday. That's why you need to get that CD or go on the app or something and listen to that. Because see, the gifts of the Spirit, they don't show any believer's depth of character or depth of maturity. Amen? In other words, a one-day-old Christian can, if God so chooses, can use that one-day-old Christian. He doesn't know a thing about the Bible. He said, I'm saved now. And then God uses him, say, well, go pray for that person. He prays and they're healed. Do you understand? Are they mature? No. Do they have, do they know the Word of God? They know. They're just born again. So we can't, elevate the gifts. You see, here, like I said last Sunday, the gifts of the Spirit, remember, no one has all the gifts of the Spirit. We learned that from verse 28 and chapter 12 and following. However, all Christians are to have the fruit of the Spirit. You see, just because someone operates in the gifts of the Spirit does not mean that they are saved. Amen? Many, many will say to me on that day, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I do many wonderful works and cast out demons in your name? Jesus said, I never knew you. See, they were flowing in the gifts. They knew who the Lord was, but they didn't have the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The gifts always operate by love. It's never to build you up. Unless you pray in the Spirit, like when we get in chapter 14, that it edifies yourself. It doesn't edify the church. So very, very important. So we have 9 gifts that are listed as we begin our series on the gifts of the Spirit, okay? But these 9 gifts, chapter 12 is not exhaustive on the gifts of the Spirit. You can go to Romans 12, beginning about verse 3, verse 4, lists gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of God. And then you can go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and following, all the way to verse 11, rather, about when Jesus gave gifts unto men, when he ascended and so forth. There's apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastor, teachers, and so forth. Now, those who say that the gifts have passed away, my question always to them is this. Okay, what gifts have passed away? Has the gift of ministration, the gift of helps, the gift of exhortation, have those passed away? Okay, well then how do you know that the gifts of the Spirit have passed away? They haven't. Those are gifts of the Spirit as well. So the gifts are just as available today as they were back then. Now, listen very carefully. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. This is so important. We must be careful on how you define the gifts of the Spirit. I've been a Christian for some 40-some-odd years, 45 years. Listen to me. I'm still learning about the moving of the Spirit of God. I don't have all the answers, but what I'm going to share with you this morning is from God's Word, but it's also from all these years of walking with the Lord and what I have learned about the gifts of the Spirit. So there, the 9 gifts that are listed, of course, you have 3 of the gifts that reveal, okay? In other words, revelation. That would be word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and then discerning of the Spirit. That always has to do with knowledge. So the gifts of revelation. But remember this, just because they're called the gifts of revelation, that doesn't mean that any new revelation concerning God's Word, meaning adding to Scripture, adding another book to the Bible, That doesn't mean that, amen? Okay, the canon is closed. The Word of God is infallible. So when we talk about the gifts of revelation, the gifts that reveal the knowledge that God wants to give us through Word of wisdom, Word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, listen to me now. That doesn't mean that God is writing a brand new book or anything like that. That's not what it means. And then we have here the gifts that do something, the gifts of power. You have a gift of faith, you have healings, plural, you have the workings of miracles, and then you have the gifts that say something. We call that the gifts of utterance, okay? So that would be prophecy, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. So let's begin now in verse 4 on the gifts of revelation. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The word diversities just means there's many, many, many different kinds. That word in the Greek is only used right there in the New Testament, loved one. And there are differences of ministries. In other words, limitless varieties of service that the Holy Spirit uses us for. And he says, and also, but the same Lord, there are diversities of activities. That's the Holy Spirit, the effects of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit working through the believer. Now, he says, but it's the same God who works all in all. So you have diversities of gifts, you have differences of ministries, diversity of activities, but listen carefully, they are all in unity. Amen? Very important to understand that. The gifts are not, that they complement one another. They're not in competition with one another. And the gifts of the Spirit always, well, they operate differently in every believer. You know, you get in trouble if you say, well, the gift operated in this person this way is going to operate in me this way too. Don't do that. No, listen, every person in this room, we're all celebrate our oneness, amen, but we don't celebrate sameness. Every person in this room has a different emotional makeup and a different personality, and God knows how to speak, since you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows everything about you, how to use you and speak to you. Every one of us are different, and God may speak to the little baby Christian on this level, the mature on this, you know, the crummy and dummy, they speak to him on this level. Do you understand? Are you all with me? Okay. Now, so it's very important that the same gift that operates in me may not operate the same gift in you. But let me tell you, if it does operate in us, it will do the same thing, meaning this, it will always glorify Jesus Christ. Never man. I got off that last Sunday, so I'm not going to get back on that again. But that is the whole thing right there. Now, if you'll notice that, did you notice the reversal of the Trinity there? It was the Spirit, it was the Lord, and then it was God in that verse that I just read. But they're all working in unity. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given. It's not learned, it's not earned, it's not even merited. It's grace, loved one, is given to each one, and look why. So your ministry will be famous. So people will look at you and go, oh my gosh. So a man or woman will be elevated. No, the gifts of the Spirit are given for the profit of all. And if the gifts of the Spirit, if church is ignorant about them and they're not using them, then it's the loss of all instead of the profit of all. It's never to build up self. And it's the manifestation of the Spirit, meaning it's a visible public display. You know that something is happening. Now, let's look at the three gifts that reveal this morning. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. These two gifts are to me absolutely unbelievable. You know, the word of wisdom is literally that divine information from the Holy Spirit. Now listen, concerning the future about a person, about a place, or about a thing. It is a word. That's all it is. Look at it again. Word of wisdom. It is a word of God's wisdom, the Holy Spirit's wisdom, His wisdom alone. It's simply a divine small fragment of the mind of God. It's His incredible wisdom, His very own wisdom imparted to the believer for a specific purpose. Now listen, it is not the gift of wisdom. I'm a smart man now. I'm a very wise man. No, you're not. Okay? That's not what this scripture is teaching. It doesn't mean you're going to become a know-it-all. Now, the word of wisdom, it is always future. Okay, always. It could be tomorrow, it could be 5 years, it could be down the line, and so forth. But in other words, it hasn't happened yet. For example, even though Jesus was prophesying in the Gospels, but this is also a word of wisdom, when Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. Now, that was concerning the temple. Jesus said that in AD 33 about, and when was the temple destroyed? AD 70. So we know, see, that word of wisdom is always future, tells things that are coming. Whenever the world, boy, poor Noah, the things that were happening in the world, he was the only one that found grace in the eyes of God. It says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 and 14, it tells us that God spoke unto Noah. It was a word of wisdom. Listen carefully. It says, and God said to Noah, in the end of all flesh has come upon me, or before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now that is something that was forthcoming. It hadn't happened yet. That was a word of wisdom. Then in verse 14, God gives Noah a word of knowledge. Make yourself an ark. That's pretty good. Amen? Very important. Now, of the nine gifts that are mentioned, I understand the word of knowledge personally, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, more so, and the gift of faith a little bit, but more so than any of the other gifts. These gifts are, to me, the greatest gifts, even though I know Paul says later, you know, that he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in another tongue. So prophecy is a great gift. But that doesn't mean you're a prophet, okay? That's not what that prophecy means there. But we'll get into that later. But of these gifts, these nine gifts, the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, to me are just absolutely, I'm always in awe of them. And what happens is they're so similar that they flow together and you don't know, you don't know they're working together. And that's how quickly that it happens. You see, a word of knowledge is different from the word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is future, but the word of knowledge is that divine revelation, a word from God, okay, concerning facts in the very mind of God, whether it be facts about people, facts about places, or facts about things. Now listen, the word of knowledge is always past, or it is always present. It's not future, okay? The word of wisdom is always future. That's why they work together. Now, and I want you to note there, when it says a word of knowledge, it means a word, just a word. It's not a huge amount. It's just a word that God gives you. Now, listen carefully. The word of knowledge, which is so incredible, it has nothing to do with natural knowledge. It has nothing to do with human intellect. This is supernatural, where God gives you a word, a fact from his mind, from his knowledge that he wants the believer to know and act upon, okay? Now, God is giving you these facts, and it is knowledge that you would never know. You would never know. You can't learn it. You can't go to the Bible and say, okay, I'm going to study it out. These are facts only in the mind of God, and he shares them with you. That, to me, is unbelievable. Amen? But the gifts of the Spirit, loved one, are real. Like, for example, the word of knowledge. Listen to these facts here. Remember when the Lord led Saul to the Lord, who is now Paul, you know what I mean, and he's blinded and so forth, and so God speaks to Ananias, just a regular disciple, just like us, okay? He says in Acts 9:11, so the Lord said to Ananias, arise, go to the street called Straight, inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying, and in a vision he's seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand upon him, that he may receive his sight. Remember the scales that were over Paul's eyes. He was blinded. Now listen, that is a word of knowledge. Was that a lot of knowledge? No, listen to it again. Okay, get up. That's God says, get up right now. I want you to go to a street called Straight. You're going to go to a house of Judas. You're going to ask for one tall of Sarsus. And behold, he's praying. Is that a lot of information? Yeah, I want you to go in there because he's had a vision. He sees you. He knows your name. And when you go in there, I want you to lay hands upon him. Think about that. That's a word of knowledge, man. And God is using this man. And was he excited about it? You better read the story. No, that's when the word of wisdom comes in. You know, and so Ananias says, oh, Lord, whoa, wait a minute. I've heard about this man. He's killing everybody. He's putting everybody in prison. So God gives him a word of wisdom. Okay, you ready? He says, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, children of Israel. I'll show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So that is future. Amen? Do you see how that works? Now, listen to me. God is omniscient. He knows everything about everything. He knows your heart right now. You are an open book to him. There's not one thing that he doesn't know. He knows every thought. He knows what you did last night. He knows what you did. He knows the dreams that you don't even remember that you dreamed. He knows everything about everything. His knowledge has no limits or bounds. He knows past, present, future. Why? He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the ending. He is the all-wise, knowing, and seeing, all-powerful God. Amen? The Bible says in Psalm 139, verses 2 and 3, he knows you're lying down. He knows you're sitting up. He knows the footpaths. He knows every place you have put your foot today. Every place. He knows your thought this very moment. He knows your fear. He knows your addiction. I pray you don't have one. He knows everything. You're an open book. God knows everything. Every hair. And why I lost 3 this morning. That blow dryer, man. Woo! They just blow all over the house. I don't want to use it anymore because I see them leaving me. Every sparrow that falls from the tree to the ground, all over the world, at any moment, at any time, in every generation, of every day, of every year. He knows it all. Now listen to me. God, when the Holy Spirit is using you, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, whatever, he only reveals unto you the divine facts, the divine knowledge that he wants you to know. Never forget this. I've seen the gifts so abused. I've seen so many people hurt, so many people wounded by people that are ignorant of the gifts and operating in the gifts who's actually counterfeited them. The gifts of the Spirit, loved one, are for the church to build up and to edify. The gifts of the Spirit are to help individuals, never to harm individuals. Do you understand? That's what it's all about. That's why I said it's for the profit of all. Everybody in the church, you know, to build them up, not tear them down. The word of knowledge operates. The word of wisdom operates. All the gifts of the Spirit operate by chapter 13, the love. You see, what did Paul say? I don't care how many tongues you speak in, tongues, men, angels. If you have not love, you are nothing. Absolutely nothing. Oh, look at that. Nothing. You're nothing. No. Listen. The Holy Spirit, whenever the gifts are counterfeited, it's because the person that is using or that God is using the person wanting to do it the right way, that they're not doing it by love by chapter 13, then that's when familiar spirits and all kinds of junk gets involved. And boy, that's a deadly, deadly thing. Listen, here's what I've learned. The Holy Spirit of God will not give the gifts, use a person who is sowing discord in the church. It's not just a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. I'm not giving you that information. Someone who's gossiping. No, don't even expect anything like that. Why? Because you're tearing down the body of Christ, not building up the body of Christ. Those are the sins God hates, amen? So everything, people say, well, Bill, why don't we see more gifts of the Spirit today in operation? I'll tell you why. The church is ignorant. Or they're scared to death because they see stuff out there and they go, well, I don't want any part of that. You know, I don't want to be the church of the twitching eye. You know, that guy. The other reason that we see so little of the gifts is because they're not operated scripturally by chapter 13, by love. Listen, love harms no one. God's love, amen? Okay, now the word of knowledge is God giving you certain facts right now, past, present, about certain things, could be places, people, whatever, but that cannot be known in the natural. Now, let me give you a little baby example, and I hate to do this. Like I told the first service, and I told my wife, and I talked about it, Becky, on the way in. I said, I hate to share things that the, you know what I mean? Because it's not about me, it's about what the Lord has done. Amen? So keep that in mind, that when I share these stories with you, it only has to do because I'm teaching a text. I don't like to share them, but the Lord said, I want you to share them. And I was even trying to move the gifts to the Wednesday service. I really was. Isn't that terrible? Sissy. The Lord didn't say that. I called myself that. I was teaching on a Sunday morning, just like I am right now. And I lifted up my hand, and while I was teaching, I noticed that my wedding ring was gone. Well, you know, I've had this ring on my finger for 40 years. And so I thought, you know, I thought, because sometimes I twirl my, you know how you twirl your ring? And I thought, well, I was sitting right there, and I thought, well, I just probably fell out there, or it was back there, wherever I was. And so I didn't think much about it. I said, I'll find it. And so after the service, I went and looked. I couldn't find it. I looked all everywhere, and I said, well, maybe I didn't put it on. So when we got back home, I looked, no wedding ring in the house. Man, I was, be honest with you, I was crying. That's honest God truth. I started crying. This is my ring. It's the only ring. It's mine. It means something to me. It's mine. $99. It's true. She has one just like it. $99. Man, I came to church the next day. You can ask Merlinda and them. I went through this church. I went the parking lot. I went everywhere. I got a flashlight. You know how you can see things glow, you know, with the lights off? You know, if it's metal, you know, you lean down. You know what I'm saying. You lean down, you see it. Man, I looked everywhere. I went through my office. I tore my office apart. I got back. I tore my car inside. I mean, I went through everything, my entire house. I was so hurt. And I said, oh, God, where's my ring at? And I knew that it was gone. Maybe 2-3 weeks passed. 2:00 in the morning, sleeping in bed, sound asleep, Becky beside me. I'm there. The Holy Spirit woke me up. God is my witness. You can ask my wife. And said, son, your ring is in your glove in the garage. I woke up, Becky. I know where the ring is. God just spoke to me right that minute. And you know, now you go ask her. I didn't even get up. I didn't even go in the garage. I said, thank you, Lord. Went right back to sleep. Next morning, I walked up, you know, like, you know, those roosters. Becky was over there in the bed, and I said, I'm going to the garage. I was honest, God, I put my hand in that glove, and that ring slid right on my finger. Amen. Now, okay, listen, that is just a little thing, but here, listen, what are you saying? I'm saying, that's a word of knowledge. God told me a present, past or present, remember right there, he gave me a divine fact, just a little bit, not a lot. Bill, your son, your ring is in the glove, in the garage. You know how good God is. Now listen, see, just that little thing. Don't you want to be used by God? Do you want to be ignorant of the gifts? Do you want to be afraid of the gifts? No, they're never to exalt you. Who do you think got the glory? When I got that ring, who do you think I started shouting to? Oh, Jesus, Lord, God, oh, wait. Man, I was dancing better than Kevin can dance. Have you ever seen his moves? Oh, listen. No, that's what I'm trying to say. See, it's that. That's what the knowledge. See, the word of knowledge, it sometimes the Holy Spirit gives you facts, and it's instantly, now listen, person, place, or thing, and you know something instantly about a person. It's unbelievable, but you know instantly. It's not that kind of junk that, oh, the Lord just spoke to me, and there's 10 people getting ready to give 1,000. Lift your hand. Go ahead. Whoo. Lift it up. No, that's not a word of knowledge. It's a word of bull. You understand? No, that's not what that means at all. You know, listen. You know, I've seen God do such wonderful, incredible things. I stand amazed. Rebecca and I were talking on the way up here this morning, going back to the very beginning. Not to this church, not the other church I pastored, but the very beginning when we stepped out from Calvary Vegas and went to the ministry. And she said, we just look, Bill, just look at it. Look what God has done. You know, she said, I'd have never dreamed. And look at what all that the Lord has done when we stepped out. And I said, honey, I'm still shocked at all that God has done. But you see, that's what happens when you step out. God will use you. Amen? Loved one, listen to me. What I tell you right now, I say this with such tenderness. If you were with us at the 25th anniversary service, you remember Mike. He lives now down in Nacogdoches, but he's been with me since day one. A wonderful servant of the Lord. And if you were here, he shared the story about the family back in the very beginning that, you know, he has five kids. You remember all that? And how we made sure the kids were in school. We paid for everything because her husband had been sent to prison. And we were in a service on the west side, and he came to Christ during one of the services, and he came up and he says, I did some wrong things in California. To make it the long story short, he says, I'm going to go tell the police because I did some. I know the Lord. I'm saved. I don't want that on me. He goes to the Fort Worth police and tells them what he's done. They contact California and said, we don't find anything at all. It's all gone. Well, 3 weeks later, all of a sudden, they did find out, and they come and arrest him, take him to prison. He goes to prison, serves his time. We take care of the family all of that time. He gets out. It's wonderful. Good woman. Loves the Lord, man. Godly lady. I love her. I mean, she was so sweet. I'm standing in the pulpit, and right here, and service is over. We finished praying with everyone, and she's walking this way, and I call her by name. I say, hey, how are you doing? And the moment I saw her, God gave me a word of knowledge, a divine fact from the mind of God, just a fragment. But I mean, I saw it. I saw a past act that was leading into the present. And I stopped her. I said, listen, I know that you know that I love you and I'd do anything for you. We've proven those things. She said, oh yeah, Bill, absolutely. And I said, I'm going to share what the Holy Spirit just showed me. And I said, I saw you behind a counter at the place where you work. And I said, behind you was a young man. And I said, you have feelings for him and he has feelings for you and you're married with five children. And I said, but he's saying such wonderful things to you because your husband's not. And it's just really capturing your heart. And he wants to be with you. He wants to know you. In a biblical sense, you know what I'm saying? And I said, you need to quit your job. No, I'm sorry. Let me stop right there. I said, if what I said to you is not true, I called her by her name. I said, I want you to slap me in my face as hard as you can. And she started crying. She said, every word that you said, Bill, is true. How did you know that? I said, I just saw him. I know what he looks like. I know the place where you work. I saw all the colors. I saw what he was wearing. I know the color of his hair, the color of his eyes. I know what he's saying to you. If you don't quit today, you're going to sin with that man. She said, I'm going to quit right now. Man, I was so thankful. And I said, Lord, I gave him praise. Do you understand? Thank you, Lord. I mean, I was blown away. And then the next week, all of a sudden, the husband shows up. Bill, you're not going to believe what's happened. I said, what? She committed adultery. I said, what? She cheated on me. Make a long story short, the marriage nearly was destroyed, but through counseling, it was all healed, put back together. Then they both went into full-time ministry. But the gifts didn't harm that person. Are you listening to me? It loved that person. Listen, God was warning and telling you can't do those things. Does that make sense? It wasn't like, look at me, I have a word, I'm somebody. No, dear God, that's not what it is at all. Listen, you know, the things that God will do, a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, working together. When my first pastor and I was leaving one day, it was a days like we've just had all this rain. I was so sad. And I mean, truth is, I was weeping. My wife and I, we were so broke, and we didn't have any funds. Matter of fact, whenever I left that first pastorate, there's a gentleman sitting in this congregation right now. He's the only one. He was at that church, and he's the only one that helped me load my U-Haul trailer when we left. This honest God truth. And it was raining. Amen? Listen, And I was passing, and I said, Lord, it was about noon. I said, I am so burdened. I said, I'm so tired of hurting, Lord, in my heart, not knowing what to do. And then as I passed, there was a roadside park on the side of the road. I was on my way to Fort Worth. And as I passed that roadside park, all of a sudden, man, the joy of the Lord became my strength. Everything changed in my heart. And I'm going, oh, I thought, you answered my prayer. Oh, God, thank you. And I mean, I was just, man, everything was great. So the next day, right? So the next day, I run into a guy. He was a plumber. You know those plumbers, something, you know, kind of get a little stuff in their mouth? You know that, what's that called? Tobacco. You know, he's got his Levi's in his boots, how they tuck him in. He's got his belt, it's kind of hanging over. And he's, hey, Bill. No, I'm serious. This guy loves the Lord. Good man. Hard working, honest. I mean, loves to do anything for God. He said, man, I was burdened for you yesterday. I said, you were? He said, yeah. I said, I was driving in my truck on the way to a job. And he said, the Lord said, Holy Spirit said, pull over in that roadside park right there and start praying for Bill. I said, he did? I said, what time was that? All about lunch, about noon. And I said, dear Lord, the moment I passed that road, remember? Now, how did he know that? Do you understand what I'm getting at? See, loved one, listen, when that's what the word of knowledge and all those things do. It's amazing to see those things happen. You know, I'm reluctant to share this with you, but I'm going to, and then we're going to move on to the discerning of the spirits. This service is different from the first service, by the way. Several years ago, I was in my study, preparing to go and preach here, of course, on a Saturday. The Holy Spirit gave me a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom about an individual. I didn't know much about what was going on in his private life. I called that individual up. I said, I don't understand what I'm about to tell you, but tomorrow your best friend is going to be coming to your home. I'm telling you in Jesus' name, do not answer your door. If he calls on the phone, do not pick up. Don't even talk to anyone. You stay in your house tomorrow, and if he comes to the door, you do not open the door. He said, what? Are you out of your mind? It's true. I said, I beg you in Jesus' name. Hung up, went back to preparing. The next day, he calls me. He said, listen to me, my best friend's knocking on my door right now. He's knocking and he's calling my name and he's been calling on the phone and I'm doing what you're telling me. He's my best friend. I said, don't open the door. Don't let him know that you are there. Don't say one word, and don't you dare open that door in the name of Jesus. He didn't open the door. He watched his friend from the upstore balcony of his house get in the car and leave. The next morning, I received a phone call from the person that I gave the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom to. He said, you just saved my life. I said, what do you mean? He said, my best friend was in a bad drug deal last night. They took him out and they executed him in a field right over there, and I can give you the name of the street. Had I gotten into the car, I would be dead. Now, loved one, listen to me. I could call that person up on my phone right this minute, and he'd testify to that. You see, it was God who saved his life. Are you listening to me? Now, I don't know why the Lord didn't tell me about the individual, about why. He only gave me a divine fragment. Do you understand? He didn't tell me that there was going to be an execution, that there was a drug deal gone wrong. He didn't tell me any of those things. All I knew was he was not to see, not to talk, not to get into that car. That's all I knew. And you see, you think you're crazy. Do you understand? No, you do. You're going, I'm out of my mind. The cheese has slipped off the cracker. It's over with. You know, but really. But you know in your heart. I don't know how it works. It just works. And even today when I see him, he always says, I'll never forget the night that Jesus saved my life. Why that boy had to die, I don't know. But I wasn't told any of that. Had I would have, it would have been different. Amen? But it wasn't. What are you saying, Bill? I'm saying that there are times if you don't step out, you know, well, Bill, it sounds crazy, but if you don't step out, how are you going to learn? How are you ever going to learn how the Spirit is working with you? Because he works with all of us differently. And you know, the main thing, the number one thing is going, I'm crazy. This is not true. I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm not going to share this. There's something wrong with me. Well, that's how you learn. If you miss it, what's happened? Well, you missed it. You're a moron. Who cares? But if you didn't miss it, and it does come to pass, then all of a sudden you sit back, and you know what happens? You then understand the here-ness and the now-ness and the realness of God. You understand that God is a supernatural God, that he really is real, and he's really using you for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen? That builds up the body. It never harms. It helps one another. That's what the gifts are about. Now, let's go to verse 10 and look quickly, because time's running out, and let's look at the last gift I want to talk about of the gifts of revelation, the discerning of spirits. Now, it says in verse 10, another, the working of miracles, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits. Now, the discerning of spirits, did you see the word spirits? Okay, that is a supernatural ability whenever God allows it to discern into what is not seen. In other words, are there angels all around us right now? Do you see them? No, but the gift of discernment, if he chose to let that operate in you for a moment, a second, 2 minutes, whatever it was, then you would see what's going on. It's the discernment of spirits. Very important. Listen carefully. It's not the gift of discernment. Well, I'm discerning something about you. No, it's not a hunch, loved one. It's not fault finding. It's not that you're a hypocrite hunter. It's not the gift of suspicion. Amen? It's the gift. It's the discerning of spirits. It's to discern for many things. For example, those who teach the truth and don't teach the truth. Those who are being led by the flesh, those who are being led by the spirit, and so forth. For example, 1 Thessalonians 5:20, do not despise prophecies, I should say, are any of the gifts. Test and prove all things. The discerning of spirits have to do with good angels, has to do with bad angels. It has to see into that realm as God so chooses. It says in 1 John 4:1, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There are only two spirits in operation today, the spirit of truth, that's the word of God, and the spirit of error, that's John 8:44, the father of all lies, which is the devil, okay? And the spirit of error, the spirit of things that are false. People are so persuaded by them, they act upon them, they trust in them, and their whole life is absolutely ruined when they trust what is false. It says in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit expressly says, in latter times some will depart from the faith, and here's why. Depart from the faith, think about that. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons. The word doctrine of demons means things taught by demons. When demons are not visibly teaching, they're teaching through an individual. They use humans, amen? And that's what the gift of discernment is all about. Discerning of spirits, I'm sorry. Now, to see what it does is it enables you to see what the natural eye cannot see. I don't understand all of that, and I don't pretend, and I don't think anybody else does either. But the discernment of spirits, is what is you see with the supernatural eye of God. You're not seeing with the natural eye at all. You know, it's also discerning of the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. There are times that Kevin and I will go out and talk and say, the Holy Spirit, the Lord is moving this direction. Is that not true? And I'll say, am I right, Kevin? He'll say, yes. Or he'll say the same thing to me. Because we're discerning the movement of the Lord. It's his church. Does that make sense? I'm not the leader. He's the chief shepherd. I'm just an under shepherd. Now, so another good example would be of something good about discerning of spirits would be Stephen, and the member of the longest speech in the New Testament. Oh, Acts chapter 7, Stephen giving all that speech. Man, they're getting ready to kill him and stone him. He's going to become the first martyr of the church. And it says in Acts 7:55, it says, but he being full of the Holy Spirit, meaning Stephen, he looked into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And said, look, I see heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So the Holy Spirit turned his hour of death, his hour of martyrdom, if you will, into an incredible divine revelation from God. Now, not only that, the discerning of spirits also is the capacity to discern evil spirits. What they're doing is amazing. For example, whenever Peter was with Simon the sorcerer, and there in Acts chapter 8, verse 23, when he looked at him, because remember, he was trying to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, the laying hands on people, remember that? And Peter looked at him and he says, oh man, I see. He's looking at his person, but he said, I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. In other words, you are a prisoner of sin. You are a prisoner of Satan. There's wicked demonic spirits all over you. How did he know that? Discerning of spirits. In Paul, in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, remember when at the time of prayer, that little girl that was following him all around, it says that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, brought her much profit by fortune telling, okay? She was demon possessed. This girl followed Paul and cried out, or literally the demon was crying out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. In other words, this is how you need to be saved. And she did this for many days, and Paul, being greatly grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, not to the girl, we don't fight against flesh and blood, said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. It's amazing how that spirit in that story did not draw attention to Jesus Christ. These men. You see, that's what these false spirits do. They never exalt Jesus Christ. They never bring him glory. Are you listening to me? Okay. Now, discerning of spirits is a divine ability to see the presence at times, whenever God wants it, the presence and the activity of an evil spirit or even a good spirit, a good angel, and how he motivates, or that demonic demon or good angel motivates a human being. I think out of all the gifts, the discerning of spirits to me scares me, and it always has. Because you see into a realm that's truly there. You don't know. See, our eyes are so hidden, loved one. There is a reality just beyond the veil right here. You have no idea. Do you understand me? I don't know how all the gifts work, but I know that we're not to be ignorant of them. But I know this discerning of spirits is an unbelievable thing. In my very first pastorate, I say all this with deep humility, loved one. I was a young man learning about I didn't understand much as I do today. And as I was locking up the church, on the doors of the church there, the windows had that, you know, that film that like it reflect. You could see like a mirror, you know what I mean, to keep the heat out, but you could see what was behind you. Doesn't that make sense? So I'm locking this up and I noticed that there's, you know, I felt like there's somebody staring at me. That's a creepy feeling. And so I locked the door and I looked into the glass as I'm locking it, and there's a car across the street with this guy sitting there, but he's just staring at me. And, you know, I'm going, is he going to shoot me? Is he a mad, one of the mad parishioners, you know? So I leave, and there on the course on the door, there's a little thing that says, in case of emergency, call this number, and it was my number. So I get home, and the telephone starts ringing, and the voice, all the, didn't say hello, didn't say, is this Bill? Nothing. He said, is this the man in the blue shirt? I said, who is this? He said, are you the man that in front of the church with the blue shirt? I said, yes. I said, I'm wearing a blue shirt. He said, you're supposed to pray for me. I said, really? I'm being honest with you. I said, oh, God, protect me. I said, you bet. I said, there's going to be a service tonight at 6 o'clock. You're more than welcome to come to it. See you later. I just hung up because I'm going, this is crazy. Do you understand what I'm getting at? Thank you. I need your help. So to make a long story short, so I'm supposed to teach that night. My brother is with me, and he says, Bill, I'm going to teach tonight. I said, fine, I'll run the sound. So I go up into the balcony there, and I'm running the sound that night. They finish the praise and worship. They go through and my brother's, starting to preach. And that guy that called, are you the man in the blue shirt, said, I saw him, I'm up in the balcony. I saw him walk down the middle aisle and sit at the front. And then as I saw him walking, everything stopped. Everything changed. And I saw something, two somethings beside him, one on each side. One had a hand on this shoulder. One had a hand on that shoulder. I see me standing at the altar, praying for him. And I see the hands remove, those black hands remove the demonic, whatever they were. And I see these figures run down the aisle. And literally, I heard the doors open as they left. I'm sitting up there, and I am going crazy. I'm telling you the truth. I said, this is my honest to God, I said, oh, Father, please help me. I said, I'm having a nervous breakdown. I said, this is killing me. This place is killing me. This church is killing me. I don't know what it was. I said, I can't do this. This is, what is wrong? What have I done? Have I sinned? I mean, I was praying for forgiveness of my sins and everybody else's sins. I didn't know what was going on. No, I'm serious. So I stay up there and I just go, okay, what's wrong with me? Forget it. This is crazy. So I go to, I'm working the sound, and all of a sudden, the service is over, and my brother goes, okay, if anybody needs prayer, we're going to have people at the altar tonight to pray for you. And so there's a few people that come down, and that guy gets out of the chair and gets right down there. And as my brother prays to this person, and comes to that guy, the guy says, is this a blue shirt? That guy. He's just getting ready to pray. He stops. I'll never forget the look on my brother's face. He's with the Lord now. Never forget it. He just stopped. And he looked up at me in the balcony. He says, Bill, I'm not supposed to pray for this man. You're supposed to pray for this man. Would you come down here and please? Now, do you understand what I'm getting at? I walked down there, and I this is all I did. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, you take your hands off this man right now. The man was saved, delivered from he was a drunkard and a drug addict, and he was saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? The next week, he brings his girlfriend, who is a drug addict, and God saves and delivers her. Now listen, you say, Bill, you're out of your mind. I know it. But see, listen, that really happened. Is it going to happen that way to you? I don't know. You're different than me. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, the gifts aren't that way. That's why, listen, here's the deal. What I always ask myself, what if I'd have been disobedient? You see how silly all of that sounds crazy? That, Bill, that doesn't happen today. Yes, it does. But had I been disobedient, had I said to myself, okay, Lord, the cheese has slid off the cracker for good. Okay? No. I would have missed the adventure, and that person would have not been delivered. Does that make sense? See, that's how you learn. That's how you grow, is because you let the Lord use you. You don't belong to yourself. You're a purchased possession. You belong to Him. If He will, and I can't. Yeah, you're afraid. You're afraid because you see all the nonsense on TV, or you've been to some crazy, wild, whatever. Listen, God doesn't honor flesh. God doesn't glorify man. He glorifies Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what you need to see. Look at verse 11. But one in the same spirit works all these things, distributing to each one, not as you will, not whenever you think you want it, as he wills. Listen, the Holy Spirit, he is the giver. He gives only when he wills. He manifests the gifts only when he wants to. And that is unity in diversity. You understand? Oh, loved one, listen, each gift is different, but the Holy Spirit is the same. Don't be ignorant. Man, Bible colleges and seminaries and pastors and prophets, evangelists, they cannot impart one thing to you. It's outside of their domain. Do you understand? It only comes from the Holy Spirit when he wills, as he wills, and not any other time. You don't own it, he owns it, and he owns the believer. Amen? So important that we see that. Listen, these are the three gifts that reveal. They all have to do with the knowledge of God. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirits. Loved one, listen, I know it's time to go, but listen carefully. The people, the men who wrote the New Testament under the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit to those men, the Holy Spirit wasn't a doctrine. They knew he was divine helper of the church. They knew he was real. They knew he was God. Do you understand? They believed in the here-ness and the now-ness and the supernaturalness of God, and they feared the Lord. And they were used by God, and they turned the world upside down. When I drove in this morning with Rebecca, we looked at each other as we were talking, as I said earlier, about the very beginning of our walk all the way back at Calvary Vegas. We looked at each other and said, you know, honey, it has been an adventure. Whew. What an adventure. What a great adventure. Don't you want an adventure? Don't you want to leave this life saying, I had an adventure with Jesus? You know why? Jesus said, listen, in Mark 1:17, Jesus said, listen, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said in John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus said in John 9:23, says, if anyone desires to come after me, if you want me, if you want to travel with me, he says, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. You can't follow him. You can't have an adventure with Jesus unless you obey what he said in John 3:7. Jesus said, you must be born again. That's the only way you'll ever have an adventure with Jesus. That's the only way you'll ever have your sins forgiven. That's the only way that you'll ever make heaven your home. There's no other way but Jesus. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for this day, this moment, the gifts of the Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that this church is not afraid of the gifts. They're not ignorant of the gifts, but they're open, Lord, to be used because you own them. And you own the believer. But Lord, my heart is drawn to maybe any that may be here this morning that's not born from above. If you don't know Christ, you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord. You've never asked him to be the Lord of my life. I'm not talking about joining a church, man. I'm talking about a living relationship with Jesus. You can ask him right now and say, Jesus, be my Lord. Save me, and he will. You say, well, Bill, how do I do that? Well, you don't have to come down to this altar, but I tell you what you need to do. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord, and you say, Bill, I want him. I want to be saved. Then just lift your hand right now high. Put it up where I can see it and put it right back down. Lift it high and put it right back down if that's you. Anyone here, and sit and just put it down. We're going to pray. This will be my last call. If you feel the Spirit or sense the Spirit of God moving on your heart, put your hand up high and put it right back down. God bless you, sir. I see that hand right there. Anyone else, as the Lord now is moving, let him have your heart. Let him have it right now. Last call. Anyone else, quickly. Then that one that lifted your hands, you pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me. Say, Father, today is my day. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. When I lifted my hand, it signified my heart and my faith. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. Father, you promised if I would truly believe that and confess Christ as my Lord, you would save me. Save me now. I believe. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Father, we give you praise and glory and thanks for that one that just came into the kingdom. Oh God, you're so good. And Lord, for your word, help us. We don't want to be ignorant, oh God. Not ignorant of anything. The gifts, your love, your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We don't want to be ignorant about anything when it comes to you. So Lord, help this body. Help us. And Lord, bless that one that just came into your kingdom. We love you. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.